Acts chapter 15, verses 36 through 41. That is the text that we're going to be looking at today. But before we do that, I brought something in my gym bag right here. I can barely lift this. Lauren, Mia, I'm going to need your help with this one, okay? What do I got in my gym bag? All right. I've got my workout gloves right here. All right, these are my gloves. Here are my weights right here, too. Got my weights. I brought the light ones. I've got heavier, much heavier weights than these. Much, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes. Was that, ow. Ow, right to my heart, Jenna, ow. But since you didn't mind, that is a Giants bag. That was the team that beat the Patriots twice in the Super Bowl. So there you go. Maybe they'll play them again this year. No way. This is part of my daily routine. I had spent a lot of time trying to strengthen my heart by jogging, running around. I even have a ski machine, a bike. I'll do those kinds of things. But lately, it's been on my heart to, pump some iron and get a little stronger. As I get older, I know that I need, I need that because some things just don't work like they used to. And so I really would like to strengthen a few muscles here and there. Jen would appreciate this. I think she recommended the rubber bands. Yes. Not that you can really build up some amazing biceps with these things, but they do help in strengthening other parts of your body. I actually use something like this to strengthen some of my back muscles without really ruining and wrecking them too much. It's kind of light restraint. So that's what I've been doing. That's what I've been doing lately to work out. I know that I will never be, I'm slowly getting to this point, that I will never be a professional athlete. I know that. I'm never going to be Gronkowski, big and strong like that, although there's a part of me that wants to be like that. I'll never get in that position. But I do know that God certainly wants us to have a strong body. I will never, ever be a professional bodybuilder. Although my daughter one time bought me a book on bodybuilding, kind of as a joke with all those guys with muscles on muscles. I'll never be really a bodybuilder. But even as I say that right now, God says to me, Kevin, you are a bodybuilder. And so what I'd like you to do today is I'd like to speak from Acts chapter 15, verses 36 through 41. Let me pray, and then I'll read. Our God, we come before you today with a mind, with a heart that's open to receive these words. Lord, we trust that your Holy Spirit is going to show us through these words a direction that you have for us as a people, as your children, as followers of yours in our own community here in New England, Lord, around the world. And so, Lord, give these words your life. Give them your life today. For Joyce, as she works with our children downstairs, give words to her, words that belong to you, words that will give life to our children. God, thank you. Thank you. We pray this in your wonderful, your holy, great name. Amen. All right. That is not a picture of me, by the way. Okay. Beginning at verse 36. And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are." Now, this is a map of Paul, the beginning of Paul's second missionary journey. Now, you know, before, in his first missionary journey, he kind of sailed this way and went up to these churches and moved up in this area and then kind of came back that way, all right? This way is going to be it's going to do it in reverse. They had spent time proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ to all these Gentile churches. And the Gentile churches are learning what it means to become a true worshiper of God. And simply what that meant is they're saved by God's wonderful, and as we sang this morning, God's amazing grace. Well, there was a few problems, and one of the problems was that there were these Jewish believers who felt as if that these new Gentile Christians would need to really follow the law of Moses, get circumcised, and follow some of the letter of the law. Well, after that bit of controversy, they went down to Jerusalem, and it was there in Jerusalem that a council met that essentially said, don't put that on the Gentiles. Don't put that on the Gentiles. Listen, we've got a couple things that they need to do, but don't put the whole law on top of them. Don't make them get circumcised, because basically we're trying to ask these Gentiles to do something that we've never done before either. We always fall short. And so they go out proclaiming this amazing grace, and so they bring that report in Jerusalem up to Antioch. And so it's there in verse 36 that we see Paul saying to the churches, listen, to the brothers there, this is what I want to do. Let's go back to all the churches that we had visited 3 years ago, by the way. 3 years ago. It's been 3 years have passed. Let's go back to all of these churches and let's check in on them. This is a really great, that's the desire of every pastor, right? I mean, that's the desire of David Smock in that video, that the church is so interested and so loving and so kind, and they just want to go and they just want to take care of people and love them and show them this amazing God that's out there that has saved them, to bring good news, to reach into their communities. This is a really good idea, isn't it? I mean, you see all that video, and you see the church family out there taking care of one another. Paul and Silas are going to retrace their steps, revisit these churches. 3 years have passed. They're going to look in and see how they are doing. Really, really, really good idea. It's a really, really good idea, yeah. Maybe to apply it to our own church here. Somebody comes in for the first time, and we gather around them, and maybe they start attending church for a couple Sundays, and we get to know their name, and then they're gone. Right? They were just people that kind of crossed the doorstep and walked into the church. And what would be a really good idea would be go check in on them, see how they're doing, give them a call. Those who have been baptized recently, it would be check in on them, see how they're doing. And that's exactly what Paul intends to do. Go in and check in on these churches. How are they doing? Do they understand God's amazing grace? Is there something infiltrating the church and breaking into the church that's going to ruin their understanding of this grace? Try to put on them this Mosaic law again. There's some of the pagan religions that are trying to infiltrate this church. Go in. We want to do this. We want to go and check on them. Really, really good idea. Yes? There we go. Now, Barnabas wanted to take with them John called Mark. But Paul thought best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia. Now, that's the region of Pamphylia. The city that John Mark left him in was the city of Perga, but that was Pamphylia, which would be the region, and had not gone with them to do the rest of the work. So after they sailed across the Mediterranean, landed in Perga, John Mark says, I'm leaving. I'm out of here. And so he returned. And so Paul is thinking, this is not a good idea. We're not going to bring John Mark along, but Barnabas wanted him to do it. Now, there arose, verse 39, and there arose a sharp disagreement so that they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. Now, no one knows for sure why John Mark left in the way when they got to the city of Perga. And so it's pure speculation. Some of it is pretty good educational guess, maybe, what happened, but it really is, for the most part, speculation. Could simply be he sailed across the Mediterranean, and if I was in John Mark's shoes and I got across the Mediterranean, there's no way I would get in a boat again and cross the Mediterranean. I would be so sick to my stomach, I think, I'm not doing this one again. Now, it could have been seasickness, actually. It could have been a homesickness. He's a young guy, doesn't realize what the rigors of ministry involve, and so it's possible that John Mark decided, I'm going. It causes these problems. One idea, which I think is pretty good, but I don't know for sure. John Mark may have been part of that group of the Jewish believers who felt as if the Gentiles needed to be baptized, or I'm sorry, needed to be circumcised and follow part of the Mosaic law, because he is actually the cousin of Barnabas, and Barnabas, later on in one of Paul's letters, I think it's in Galatians, he rebukes Barnabas. Because Barnabas is still holding on to this idea that in order for them to become Christians, they need to follow the Mosaic law. So Barnabas is one of those guys. And so perhaps, just thinking, this possibility that maybe John Mark was a part of that group as well. Do you know, if there's one thing that this that shows us, is that there is a weakness in the body of Christ. There's an area that could potentially steal away the testimony. When we see John Mark separating from them and Paul's feeling towards John Mark, the disagreement takes place, a sharp disagreement, the word says. It cuts like a knife into the body. You see this weakness? This weakness can undermine our testimony. When we see conflict break into the body of Christ, when we see disagreement break into the body of Christ, would you agree with that? Thank you, Nancy. I appreciate that. Right? And certainly we see a sharp disagreement between these two pillars of the church. What we're seeing the human nature kind of pop up, isn't it? Isn't that what we're like? We all think we know, all right? You think you know everything, you know? I think I know everything, and you know, you think you know everything. And what happens is that we realize what you think and I think don't always agree with one another. And that's what happened in the first century church. A weakness is quickly, immediately identified within in the church. We all got these personalities, and we've all got ways in which we think things should be done, and that in itself can create a problem in our testimony and in our message. It begins to steal away. A weakness in the body of Christ is immediately detected. And he went, and that's Paul now, and Silas, by the way, and he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. I have found over the course of time, and it's been 14 years here, the Bethel Alliance Church, that church, doing church together, it's very exciting. There's still a lot of motivation and incentive to do church up here in New England. Right here in Maine and Bethel, there are a number of challenges that take place, but it is really, really difficult. The longer we spend together as a body of Christ, our individual frailties, our flaws, and our personalities become more evident. You know, if there's anything that we have discovered along the way, is that there are other weak points in the body of Christ. Disagreement and argument is certainly one of those areas that could potentially ruin our testimony. As we do church together, it's inevitable that we are going to have a difference of opinion. Right now, we're in the process of hiring or looking to find another youth leader. Right now, Josh is stepping into the gap, and Kathy's stepping into the gap for worship. Josh with our team, and they're both doing a great job. But what we're going to do is we're going to do the process of finding another youth and worship person. That process is inevitably going to bring out some differences in the way we view ministry. Yes? Yeah. That's just going to happen. But there are other weak points that could be potentially revealed as well. I'm sure as Paul and Silas walk those roads together, they're going to find some other differences between themselves. They're going to discover a church that is deeply in need. I think if I was to look at church, the moments there are these I'll refer to them as a kind of a seashore kind of experience. They're beautiful. The sun is out, it's a little breezy. You can smell the salt air. And so there's a lot of church can be like that. The moment we came to salvation, the time that we spend in fellowship with one another, when we laugh. I was listening to the worship team this morning, and something funny must have been said up here because there was a lot of laughter up here on the stage. And there were those beautiful moments when we see a child being baptized, when we're working with the teens and seeing those guys all get together. Those I would call the seaside kind of experience. They're beautiful. But we understand that there's more than that in the body of Christ, and there's more than that in doing church, because those are just a few passing moments. The rest of it brings with it some great difficulty. And the churches along the way, they found some difficulty along the way. How about this one? What are some of the common weaknesses that we see taking place? How about when God says no? In Paul's travels, he'll want to do ministry up in Bithynia. It's another area. It's a province. And as he approaches Bithynia, this is chapter 16, the Holy Spirit says to him, no, you can't go there. I don't know about you, but have you ever had God tell you no? What's that feel like? When every part of your nature and who you are as a person, and you want to go in that direction, and God tells you no, you can't go there. How do you react? Right? You have a decision that you need to make, a direction that you're moving, and then God tells you, no, you can't go there. Paul and Silas were in that position. They thought ministry is going to be terrific. Let's go up to Bithynia. It's an untouched area right now. Let's go bring them the gospel. We think it's a wonderful place to go. And God says, no, you can't go there. You know, in our own lives, there are decisions that we make that we try to force God's hand. I want to open up that door into our life, and God says, no, you cannot go there. Stop. And he closes the door. You see, I think when that begins to happen, we identify our own rebellious nature. We identify we're kicking against God, and if it's seen by other people, it represents a weakness in the body of Christ. We're not obedient to what God's Holy Spirit is telling us to do. when God says no? How about this one? When the body suffers an injury. Paul and Silas will go into ministry. They'll head to some of these villages, and at some point, they are going to get beaten because of their faith. And they will suffer. And they will suffer injury. How about that one? Is the body of is the body of Christ prepared to suffer injury? And how do we do it? When we look around and we see what's happening, even in our own world today, we recognize that injury is a part of this walk that we do in Christ. It is inevitable. We see injury all the time. Now, what does it do to your testimony? I was sharing with you earlier, and this was something that was just a wonderful testimony of Sue Duca. When we were in the hospital, I'm losing track of time now. That was been Wednesday night. We went to the hospital, and there's Richie in the emergency room. He's got a tube down his throat. I mean, he is out. He's, you know, sedated. And the doctors were coming in, and I'm asking the doctors, listen, do you have any idea what's going on here? And you could tell they were wrestling with it, really struggling. And they said, well, we're going to run some more tests, about 15 minutes or so. And then about a half hour later, Nancy rolls her eyes, because a half hour they come back and tell us, well, it'll be about 15 minutes. It'll be about 15 minutes. And I'm getting quite frustrated with all of this. All right, like, can't you? I mean, you're telling us you can run the test in 15 minutes, and you can't run the test. He needs an EKG. He needs an EEG. He needs he's looking at a possibility of an MRI. 15 minutes. Come on now. Like, let's get things moving here. Let's find out what's going on with this man. It just simply wasn't happening. The next day, I get a text from Sue, and Sue tells me, "Oh yeah, he's scheduled for his MRI at 10:15." A little while later, he got another text back. Oh, they reschedule it to 1:15. I'm thinking, oh my goodness. Then, once again, I get a text from her. Oh, they just reschedule it. It's now 4:15. Right. And so I text Sue back. And I said, Sue, this has got to be really, really frustrating for you. Send it off to her. She sends me a pack. She says, oh, Pastor. She said, they're so sweet and they're so kind to me, and I can't get upset at them. Oh, Sue, you had to go and do the Jesus thing, didn't you? Right? I mean, she's just so sweet and so kind to the people there, and so very, very patient. When the body suffers injury, I want it fixed really, really quick. All right? And it really tests my own Christian testimony, my own Christian witness. I want to say or do something that is not in keeping with the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And Sue just did that wonderfully. When the body of Christ suffers. How about this one? When our rights are violated. We live here in America, and because we live here in America, we've got all our rights, and because we've got our rights, we're going to exercise our rights, we're going to flex our rights, and we're going to make sure that it's just going to be done the way we do it, because it is our right. Do you know what happened with Paul and Silas? They were carried into a city. They were beaten. They weren't even tried, and they were thrown into prison, and their rights were violated. Later on, the jailer comes and says, listen, this is not good, right? Let's go get them. And Paul says, no, man. You bring the people here to me right now, because you know what? My rights were violated. I'm a Roman citizen, and you did this without trial. They actually come and they apologize to him. Do you know what I find interesting is when our rights are violated, we're not so gracious. You know, we want to stand up, puff our chest out. Here is my right. You know, as a Christian, our rights are going to be violated all the time. The most important thing here is not that my right be exercised or be followed. And the greatest concern here is whether or not the testimony of Jesus Christ is going to get out there into the world. And just in doing so, my rights may be violated. Now, we live in a wonderful country where many of our rights are protected, but that won't always be the case. I hope that when your rights are violated, that your testimony of Jesus Christ is just going to simply be as strong as ever. When our rights are violated, they have beaten us publicly, uncondemned men who are Roman citizens. But this one, when our theology is tested. Later on, of course, the Judaizers were going to come in and say, listen, our theology is this, to worship God, you're going to have to be circumcised, follow the letter of the law. Later on, they run into these guys called the Bereans, and in that particular city, the Bereans say, hey, put on the brakes. We want to know what you're saying. And we want to understand it completely. So give us a little bit of time here so that we can actually open up God's word and measure this and weigh all of this. How often do you sense that your walk in Christ is tested by a question that actually examines your own personal theology? You step back and go, wait a minute. You're questioning me on this? Come on now. No. Listen, as a body of Christ, we have an opportunity to open up God's Word. Today we're talking about that in the book of Revelation. There's a lot of questions about I don't know if you knew this or not. That's a really deep book, isn't it? Right? And it's difficult. It's challenging. And so what's going to happen is you're going to find yourself in a position. I'm looking at Kelly over here because you're in that class. You're going to find people asking questions about it. And chances are, at some point, your theology is going to be tested, what you know and understand about God. And when that's tested, what does your testimony then look like? How do you handle it? All of these things can certainly point out, could take hold of some type of weakness that we have within the body of Christ. Listen, Paul would go on to say, and this is the church in Corinth. Listen, human frailty is used to divine strength. He put it this way: my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. So here is really where I want to go today. I'll take my jacket off for this one. We discover something in the body of Christ. You know, we're not going to be able to remove any of that stuff of our human nature, right? I mean, it's always going to be there. We're always going to be kind of these sensitive people who our feelings and our egos are going to be easily damaged. We're going to bring into the body of Christ our own proclivities, our own lusts. We're going to bring all that stuff in. We're going to bring in our own questions. We're going to bring in our own shortcomings, all of our personal flaws. And yet, God says, I want these people made out of dirt, by the way, that's what we're made out of. I want these people made out of dirt, made out of clay, to come together, and they are going to make an impact in the world around them with all of their flaws and wherever they are. Because why? Because, listen, these people are just clay. They're jars. And yet, my glory, my Holy Spirit is going to be living and dwelling inside of each one of their hearts. And so when they get together, because I live inside of them, nothing is going to stop them. Do you know what happens when this conflict takes place within the body of Christ and there's Paul and there's Barnabas separating? Guess what? Now we go from two missionaries to four missionaries. What happens in this conflict? Not only do they have two missionary fields, now they have one missionary field, two missionary fields, and when the Holy Spirit tells Paul, don't go into Bithynia, you know what he does? He sends them into Macedonia. See, this amazing God still at work within these jars of clay, moving them from one place to the next. They're beaten and they're thrown into prison. Their blood is spilled. And that blood results in eternal life for the Philippian jailer who sees this amazing God at work. He brings those guys to his own house. Not only is he baptized in belief, but his whole house is baptized and they believe. Is that an amazing God or what? You see, somehow God continues to work in the body of Christ with all of these things. When our theology is tested, it results in these Bereans, they're described as more noble than the rest of the guys out there. It results in a push inside of our heart to know what God's Word has to say so that we can handle all of those questions. See, that's the amazing way God strengthens the church, through us. So, my final, I guess question, and I want to open this up for an I want to open this up for an opportunity for us to talk a little bit. Do you feel as if you have been placed here to strengthen the body of Christ? I pulled this off offline because I want to start. I want to get some bigger muscles. It says first, what you must do: you must lift at least 3 or 4 times a week. Ooh, okay. So there's a regular part about working out. You actually have to do it. I was kind of hoping I'd do it without working out 3 or 4 times a week, but that's not going to happen. Secondly, use several muscle groups. And I think what that means is that you're doing weights, that like heavy weights like squats and presses, so that you're using more than 1 or 2 muscles at the same time. It's strengthening your core, your hips, and all that kind of stuff. Third, keep the reps between 8 to 12 reps and 5 or more sets. And finally, aim to do a little bit more than you did the last time. Add an extra pound or two to your weights and do 1 or 2 more reps or maybe add another set. Listen, body of Christ, do you feel you have been sent here to strengthen the church? Okay. I heard one person say yes. That's good. Have you been sent here to strengthen the church? Are you bodybuilders? No. What's that? Are you bodybuilders?
No.
Paige.
I think it's easy to have a tendency to come expecting to be built.
Yes, yes, yes. Yep.
Instead of coming with the expectation that we would contribute to the strengthening.
Mm-hmm. God says to me, Kevin, you're a bodybuilder. What does that mean? Well, today I want you to lead the discussion in Sunday school. Now, I agreed to that earlier on. I knew I was going to be preaching today, and then later on I'll be doing Judy's service, memorial service. There are times when God calls me in a position, he says, listen, go and strengthen the body of Christ. Sometimes I don't want to go there, honestly. But then he says, the body, you too are the bodybuilders. How do you go about building the... do you believe you're bodybuilders? Right? That you're here not to just get built up by God's word, or if I rake you over the coals on a sermon. That's not just the intent of that, not to harm you, but to encourage you to be something different. Today it's, are you bodybuilders? And what does that look like in the world around you? This past week, I saw the bodybuilding taking place as people gather around Drew. That's bodybuilding. How many years they've been married? How many years? 63 years, I think someone said 63 years. A part of him is gone now. I can't even imagine it. Does he need the body there? Does he need the body of Christ reaching into his life? Yes, he does. So how do we go about strengthening him? Thoughts?
Good. Pray for him.
We pray for him. Good. Lisa, what are you going to say? I saw a hand go up. Make him a part of your family. Let him know, hey, Drew, we know this might be a tough time. And when you get a moment, listen, what we'd like you to do is you come over to the house. Right? Good. How does the body of Christ strengthen? And what part do you have in it? Yeah, you bring in your own personality, your own stuff of your own life, and maybe you're feeling insecure. See, I can't really do anything, but you can. God has given you his Holy Spirit. You're just a jar of clay, just like I am and the rest of the people here. You're put in a position of now strengthening the body of Christ. You're bodybuilders. How so? Give me some other ideas. Maybe a note of encouragement. Another good idea. What's that? A phone call. Maybe it's checking in on Sue and Richie Duca, right? And that might be one way of saying, listen, we miss you, we've been praying for you, that we love you and that Jesus loves you, and is there anything that we can do? Right? We put meals together. You provide, Aaron, food coming from our community for our community supper. We put a supper on. How do we strengthen the body of Christ? Jeff.
I was away. I'm not a member, and I've been coming here for 6 years, and I went away for a year, and God brought me back, and I thought it was to strengthen me.
Mm.
But what I discovered was it was to strengthen us.
Mm.
He helped me enlist a member of the men's Bible study to remind me every single Monday of when men's Bible study is.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the month when community supper is.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I participate in all those things pretty regularly for over a year, except when I'm really busy at work, Monday nights when the law community stuff to get to.
Mm-hmm. And so what somehow
I didn't anticipate that, but what you're saying is that my participation is strengthening the body by being a participant.
Exactly.
And there's a few men in here who I have invited to Bible study.
There we go. All right. You see, that's something, if there's a spirit in the church, if that spirit moves out beyond just that we're being fed, or I'm going to go to the church this morning and I'm going to experience some bodybuilding, right? The body is not just here, right? Or just located just here. It's outside there in the world as well. We saw that in the video. There are ways in which the body of Christ begins to strengthen one another outside of just Sunday morning. It's great to be here on Sunday morning. By the way, I'm not saying, hey, don't be here on Sunday morning. Be here on Sunday morning. It's part of the bodybuilding process. But we're out there. Did I see another hand go up? Yes.
Our women's Bible study is a bodybuilding. But I sometimes get really lazy and frustrated. And I don't want to go.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so frequently, it's not Jody's fault, believe me.
Mm-hmm.
But frequently, I will shuffle in, not a good attitude, and the body strengthens me.
Mm-hmm.
I think the fact that I came might encourage somebody.
Yes.
As long as I don't interrupt Jody too many times.
Yes. Amen. Okay, you know, and she's doing like Galatians right now, right? Beginning in Galatians. What a bodybuilding experience that really could be. Any other thoughts? Yes, Aaron.
Taking our parenting seriously whether our children are young or old, bringing them to Jesus and Christ. And
Amen. You know, because the way they see you growing and doing life is the way they're going to see and do life as well, for the most part. They watch you together. They watch your relationship grow in Christ. They too will follow along. Does it always happen? people always bring up the exception. That's a possibility, yeah. But the greater chance is that they see Jesus Christ growing in your house, and they too. And it doesn't end. It doesn't end. Jacob's still in China, right? It doesn't end. Emily's over in Senegal. Is a missionary. It doesn't make any difference. She still needs mom and dad as part of being a disciple makers in their life. Ooh, boy, is that one a challenge? How many of you here have experienced that one, right? You watch your kids going off and you still got to love them like Jesus loves them and you just want to, like, come on, child. What are you moving in that direction for? Yeah, yep. Years ago, I used to pray for like 130 people would be here on a Sunday. Actually, it started out 120 people. We actually started averaging 120 a few years ago, 120 people. We're under that right now. And so I thought, oh, God, I must ask for 130 people on Sunday. Because you answered 120, 130. I'll go 130. 130 people. But, you know, my mind has kind of been a little bit adjusted on that one. God says, well, is that what you want, Kevin? You want 130 people on Sunday morning? Why do you want 130 people on Sunday morning? Well, Lord, because if I preach, I should be looking at people. Maybe it feeds my own ego. Maybe it does all those things. And he says, well, what do you think I would want? And it came to me instantly. I want 130 disciple makers. Not just 130 people who are here on Sunday morning, but 130 people that are following after Jesus Christ, and it is their express intent to be a disciple of someone else. They're disciple makers, not just church attenders. Thank you, Lord. So I'm praying for 130 disciple makers. You've heard it first here on Sunday, okay? See, disciple makers are they're intent on building the church, strengthening the church. Their eyes are open. They're seeking God's counsel and leadership. Lord, how do you want me to build the church now? What can I do? Write a note. Give someone a call. Go over and visit them. Lead them. Do you know something? Our theology is tested, but I see fewer and fewer teachers rising up, by the way. Our theology is questioned. We don't really know a lot about God's word, but I see fewer and fewer teachers rising up and saying, God, I will take on that assignment. We need teachers. We need teachers who love God's word, who's able to teach other people. That's a disciple maker. That's how you strengthen the church. You know, I've sometimes wondered, like, what, Lord, when the body is injured, why don't more people take advantage of being anointed with oil and prayed over? Experience, really, your healing. God, I just don't understand. We do it on Sunday morning. We ask people on, come in during the week, and fewer people take up that option of being simply prayed over, anointed with oil to be healed. Don't you know that that's part of the strengthening of the body? Strengthen the church. That's your charge. Find out the spot that you know that God's bringing you to. Like, I need, this is how I can strengthen the body of Christ. That's your challenge for today. Any thoughts before I close in prayer? Okay. Lord, we have all been called to become bodybuilders. You've called us to strengthen the church. We know that that's done by your Holy Spirit. Lord, in and of our own flesh, we often fall so very short in our own capabilities. Lord, and you know what I feel, my own personal insecurities, Lord, when it comes to bodybuilding. And yet, God, what you're simply looking for is someone who is obedient and listens to you and is willing to take that risk, that radical step that we talked about a few weeks ago. Lord, I pray that you would put it on our hearts to send out other missionaries into this world. Lord, I ask you that you would put it on our heart to be a disciple maker who desires to know your word and to teach. Lord, I ask that you would raise up prophets and other pastors, people who have that gift of shepherding others. Lord, reveal to us by your Holy Spirit how it is that we can strengthen the body of Christ. Lord, we know it's not going to be easy. We know there will be challenges along the way. Some we buy on our own, Lord. We simply because you called me and what I bring into it, Lord, I bring a problem. But you put your Holy Spirit in me. I know you've done that for those who are here this morning too. God, show us that way in which we can strengthen. Strengthen this body of believers that you have brought together. Thank you, our God. In your name we pray. In the name of Jesus. Amen.